gifts. Think about gifts. We often think about gifts at Christmas time and giving and receiving gifts. And you might think about what are some of the best gifts you've ever received? Or maybe some of the worst gifts? Or kind of strangest gifts? I've got a bit of a collection myself over the years. One of the best gifts I remember ever receiving, and it's on the next slide. I was about 15 years old, and I was given a course that went for a whole week where I could go to this place where they gave me all the bits that I needed and taught me and showed me how to make my own surfboard. Did that come up? There it is. And so I made my own surfboard. It was. I think that might be one of the best gifts I've ever been given. It was fantastic. I remember one year getting a bicycle, like a racing bike. I think I'd been saving up for it by delivering leaflets, but then, you know, the balance of it was this fantastic Christmas present. I remember being very excited about that. And we'll just go to the next slide. This is another present I got once. Anyone recognize what this is? Oh, come on. No? It was called a Merlin, and it was an electronic toy with these 11 different flashing lights. And see, back in those days, you could get little, you know, this is the olden days, you could get little, like, games, you know, but it was always only, like, one game, like Octopus or Asteroids or something. This, I could play about 9 different games. I could play tic-tac-toe, yeah, Mastermind, I think, and memory games. I mean, it was pretty special. I was very excited when I got that. Not all my presents have been so fantastic. They've been a little bit strange at times. I don't know if I really should be telling you this, but one year, my grandmother gave me leopard skin underpants. I'm not sure what was going on there. We might just park that over there and keep going. I'm still embarrassed. I'm still embarrassed about the time, I think it was about 9 or 10, when family friends gave me a present. And I could tell it was just a little book, you know. And it's a 9 or 10-year-old boy, it's like a book, huh, you know. And so I wasn't even polite enough to open it. I just ignored it. But I still remember the excitement, but also the shame when I did eventually open it, because my parents said you should really open it. And it's on the next slide, it was Pinocchio. It wasn't just a book, it had a record in it which told the story. And I got to say, back in those days, and kids, I know this doesn't sound that special, but to me, that was pretty cool. It told the story as well as reading the book, and, you know, served me right for being such a rude little boy. That was going to be my list, but I actually can show you from last night, I can show you a gift that Erica was given, very special gift from a friend of ours. Little gnome, and not just any gnome, he's got his thongs on and his Hawaiian shirt, so it's very Byron Bay gnome. And a mate of mine gave me this, which I'll have to wear later. It's my new Pearl Jam t-shirt. There you go. Does it suit me? I don't know. Anyway, okay. Presents. I don't know. What have you been given? Your best present or your worst present or your strangest present? We often think about gifts at Christmas time, don't we? Gifts that we give, gifts that we receive. But of course, Christmas is when we are really thinking about whose birthday, right? Jesus' birthday. We don't know if it's the actual day, but it's when we celebrate it. And of course, given that it's Jesus' birthday, maybe the right question is, what would Jesus like for his birthday? What would be a good gift for Jesus? So think about that. What would Jesus like for his birthday? Now, on the next slide, there's a few people. These are people that I asked. I asked first I asked Sam. I said, Sam, what do you think Jesus would like for his birthday? You know what Sam said? He just laughed and said, I don't know. Classic Sam. So I went and I asked Lani, who was there as well. And Lani said, I think Jesus would like a barbecue. Yeah, I said, Lani, why would Jesus like a barbecue? And she's on the ball. She said, for all those fish he catches. So she was thinking, right? Then I asked Annika there. Some of you might know Annika. And she said, I think she was pulling my leg, but she said, I think Jesus would like a Barbie doll dream house. And so I asked her, obviously, why do you think Jesus would like a Barbie doll dream house? And she said, well, everyone goes through a stage of enjoying playing with Barbies and maybe he feels left out. I don't know. I thought I'd better ask somebody else. So I asked Erica because, you know, she's going to give me a good answer. And Erica told me she thinks Jesus would like world peace. Thank you, Erica. He probably would. So look, there's some answers. Actually, I've got a present for Jesus here today. And Crystal, are you here? Can you please... Now, Crystal's mum, Hannah, is in the office here. She's got the present. And if you can just grab her and help bring it out, we're going to check out this present for Jesus. And you're going to maybe guess what it might be. Actually, grown-ups aren't always that smart. So... if there's any younger ones here. Now, there were a bunch of kids up the back a minute ago. Where have they gone? There's a few around. Okay, we need your help, except not if you know the answer, to try and work out what this present is that we've got here for Jesus. It's an office chair, that's right. Okay, so can you all see that? Present for Jesus. We're going to bring it around the front here. I think it might be fragile, so don't drop it. What do we think we've got here for Jesus? Anyone want to guess? Our present for Jesus? Anyone want to come and kind of see how heavy it is? Or it's pretty heavy. You want to give it a whack? What have we got? What do you think, Freya? A globe, like the whole world or something? Could be.
A special box.
A special box?
Yeah,
that has chippies in it. If I was Jesus, I'd like that. Okay, what have we got for Jesus? What do you reckon? Maybe. Okay, look, what I want you to do is we will count down. Shall we count down and before I open it up? When we get 10 to 0, when we get to 0, we'll say, surprise Jesus. And when you say that, we'll open it up and we'll see what's inside. Is that okay? Okay, let's do that. Ready? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Surprise Jesus. Oh, hey. Right, okay. Just don't fall over. You're feeling a bit warm. So what does Jesus want for his birthday? He wants Daniel. He also wants you and he wants me. That is what Jesus wants for Christmas. Is it not? Okay, let's get this guy down safely. Well done, Daniel. There's a lot of heat in here at the moment, you poor little bloke. So you're a bit warm. Okay, carry the box off. I've got one more, actually. It's another present for Jesus. It's a little smaller one. Janet, would you like to open this for us? And you can have a look inside. And you can see what's in there. This is for Jesus. And once you've had a look, maybe just pass it round. And as many people as possible can see, this is a gift for Jesus. Okay, so pass it around. You can pass it around while I'm talking. Now, this is what Christmas is all about, isn't it? It's it's about Jesus' birthday. And so we might think about what it was all about and why Jesus came. So, but to really understand this, we need a little bit of background, which I'm going to tell you. But while I do that, kids, as you came in, there's a few children amongst us. You were given by Paul and Valerie, you were given a page. And on that page, it looks a little bit like a mirror. And while I'm explaining the background, you might want to draw a picture in there, if you would like to, of what you see when you look in the mirror. Draw a picture of what you see when you look in the mirror. And you can do that while I'm talking. So this is the backstory. And we need to understand this if we want to understand what Christmas is all about. And so in our Bibles here, I mean, Jesus appears about here in the Bible. We're about 3/4 or 4/5 of the way through. And we've got this whole story beforehand. There's lots of stories in there, but it's also like it's one big story. And if we go right back to the beginning, right back to the very beginning of the story, to creation, when God made the world in the very first chapters of Genesis, we see there that God's desire, what he really wanted when he made the world, was for people to be able to enjoy it, to be able to enjoy this good and ordered and meaningful and abundant and beautiful creation, and to do so in this beautiful and intimate relationship with him. That's what God wanted. That's his desire from the very, very beginning. And we've got images like in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, there's this image of God, and how do we imagine this? But God walking in the garden where Adam and Eve were in the cool of the day. So this lovely kind of notion of what it would have been like back at the very beginning. But as we continue on through this story, we've got that lovely start to things, and yet sadly, as most of us would know, as the story unfolds, starting with Adam and Eve, but not just them, we see people consistently turning away from God and, you know, ignoring his right to be the king as the creator in their lives and in his world, and instead choosing to live in ways that aren't pleasing to him, doing whatever we want to do. And, you know, we call that sin. And the result of sin is separation from God, and all those good things that he wants for us. That's what happens. And we see, as we read that story, before Jesus comes along here, as we read this story, we see that God is a just God who ultimately judges people for their sin. And yet the other thing we see in that big story, again and again and again, is that he is a faithful and a merciful God who does whatever it takes to open the way so that people can find their way back to him, so that they can make a fresh start. So we see this. This is the story. This is the backstory of that very first Christmas. And it's like a cycle of blessing of God, and then disobedience of people, and then God's judgment, but then God's restoration, making things right again. And over again, it is like this is pretty much the whole story of the Old Testament without all the details. That's it. And it tells us two things, doesn't it? First, it tells us about people. People like you and me. It tells us that each and every one of us, every person on the planet, has a big problem, right? Every single one of us. Some of us do worse than others, but in one way or another, we all fail to treat God as God, and instead we live for ourselves. They did it back then, and we're still like that today, and so we got this problem. And the result, according to the Bible, is separation from God, and ultimately his judgment, and even death. It tells us that. It tells us about people and our problem, but it also tells us about God. It tells us that he's a God who gets involved to save us, who is faithful. He never gives up on us. He's a God who'll do whatever it takes to bring us back to him. It's fundamental to who he is and what he's like. So that's what we learn. That's the backstory to that very first Christmas. And the thing about that is that by the time we get to that the end of that big story, it's like there's this growing sense of two things. There's despair, just this sense of despair at the persistence of human sin, even in the face of the blessing of God. Despair, and also mixed with hope. Hope in the promises of God that one day He will send a special king or Messiah who will come and save His people from this big problem once and for all. Despair and hope. And that's where it takes us. And it brings us to that very first Christmas. And so, very first Christmas, Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 to 23. And we read this just a minute ago. The birth of Jesus, it took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, right? The hope. It took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, I don't know what you think about that, God with us, but how incredible is that? That when Jesus arrived on our planet, as we're celebrating and remembering today, that little child, when He arrived on our planet something like 2,000 years ago, this was actually God arriving to be with us. That's what we're celebrating. Now, as we know, when He came, you'd think things would be pretty good, but it wasn't all roses for Jesus, was it? Even as an infant, right? His mum and dad, Joseph and Mary, they had to flee to Egypt because King Herod was trying to kill him. As an adult, all the important religious leaders were opposing him all the time, sometimes in serious ways, until eventually he died, as we know, this horrifying death on a cross. Now, God knew all that would happen. God knew all that, and yet Jesus came. Why did He come? Because He wants us. He wants to be with us. That's what His love is like. That's what Christmas is about. And He didn't just want to be with us for those 30 or so years that He walked and talked and lived and breathed on planet Earth. When Jesus went to the cross and then rose 3 days later, He opened the way for us to live in a restored and a beautiful relationship with Him forever. Forever. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, the angel says, Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. So Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua, and that name apparently means the Lord saves. Jesus saves. So that big problem, so we're talking about the big problem that we read about in this whole part of the story here of human sin, of persistently failing to be faithful to God, making a mess of our lives, our relationships, and the world, all those things that still go on today and that separate us from God, it was all resolved by Jesus. That's why He came. Jesus has fixed our biggest problem. That hope is fulfilled in Him. That despair, no longer. Hope in Jesus. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins to fix our biggest problem. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only Son, His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus wants us so much. Jesus wants you and me so much that He even gave His life so that we can find our way back to Him. right? This is what Christmas is all about. And this is how we know that this is what he really wants for his birthday. He wants you and he wants me. There's something else he wants for his birthday. Something else Jesus wants for his birthday. Erica was pretty close to the mark, right? World peace. Jesus also wants us to join him in his mission to make the world right. He also wants that. So if we go back to that Genesis, the beginning story, we see one of the things you might remember, it says that God made us in his image to be his representatives, basically, caring for his creation, right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So when people chose to sin and ignore God's way of doing things, way back then and continually through history, it didn't just mess our kind of like our individual lives up. It messed up the whole world. And that's what we see in Genesis chapter 3. It tells us that our whole world is kind of broken because of human sin. Our relationships, the environment, have a read of Genesis chapter 3. So when to come back forward to when Jesus came, he didn't just come to set our lives right, as in you and me. He came to set the whole world right again. God's big mission, everything. One day, he's going to do this. I mean, we're not there yet, are we? We've still got pandemics, right? We've still got difficult relationships. We still get sick, right? We still muck things up. But one day, and we get a bit of a picture of that at the very end of the Bible, don't we? Revelation, for example, and most of us, many of us would love this verse. Chapter 21, verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the future, guys. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Can you even imagine? That's where it's headed. But see, in the meantime, Jesus invites us to live as God intended and to join him in his big mission to bring hope and healing to a broken world. That's another thing that he wants for Christmas. Now, we can do this in big ways. We can do this in small ways. I'm sure you can think of heaps of ways that we can join God in this mission. We can visit someone who's lonely. We can try and reduce our waste at home. We can practice generosity. We can speak up for the poor and the oppressed. We can encourage our politicians to pass laws that are going to, you know, better protect the environment. All of these things. It's why it's completely fitting at a time like this, at Christmas time when we are celebrating Jesus who came to set everything right. It's completely appropriate at a time like this that people will often look for ways to embrace the lonely or feed someone who's hungry. Right, it's why we like to give to things like our special Christmas appeal at Christmas time, you know, where we can be a part of what God is doing in his world to make everything right, you know, and in this case, wanting to support that work to help children who've been made vulnerable due to the pandemic. I mean, I want to be a part of that, and Jesus wants us to be part of that big project that he's got. Is it going to be made perfect this side of heaven? It isn't. But this is God's big mission as well. These things matter. So there's our question. There's our answer today. What does Jesus want for his birthday? Well, I can't see too many kids drawing on their mirrors. But if they were holding pictures of what they see when they look in the mirror up, what would they be showing us? There's one at the back there. They'd be showing us pictures of themselves, right? And you saw that other present that came around. What did you see when you looked in there? You saw yourself. Because there was a mirror, okay? Jesus, right? Jesus wants us to join him in his mission to bring hope and healing to a broken world. But first and foremost, what does Jesus want for Christmas, for his birthday? He wants you and he wants me. He wants us to understand how much he loves us, and he wants us to give our hearts to him. That's what he wants. He wants us to follow him and trust him. That's what Christmas is all about. It's why he came, something like, you know, that very first Christmas, something like 2,000 years ago, and ultimately gave his life to rise again, right? It's why he lives even today and invites us to give him what he really wants for his birthday, which is you and me. Shall I pray? Let's pray. Oh God, we want to thank you. We thank you that your love is so amazing, and even though we do silly things, you still love us, and you even sent your son Jesus so that we can find our way back to you and be your children. Help us to live for you. Help us to join you in your big plans to make everything right. Help us to be part of that big mission of God to the world. But Lord, most of all, just help us to love you and trust you and follow you and share you with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so that brings us to our final carol. And Andrew's going to lead us with Mary's Boy Child. Let me just say, as we come to this last carol, we don't have morning tea today. We don't have a service tomorrow. So next time we gather will be 9:30 on the 2nd of January. Pam, you want to say something? Sure. Well, why don't I just pray now before we sing? Is that all right? And look, there are a few other people who are unwell at this time. And obviously, they're heavy on our hearts. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you. As we think about our broken world, we think about people who are unwell, and we know that you don't want it to be this way, but it's the way it is, this side of heaven. But Lord, we pray. We pray for those who are struggling in different ways. We pray for Anne. We pray for others that you, and Cheryl, we pray for others that you've laid on our hearts that we might be concerned about. We bring them to you knowing that you love them. And we pray for peace and strength and for healing within your will there, Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.